Hey Chicago, it's Nudia Hernandez from Vocalo. Taylor Bennett and A Damn Killer will be joining me for Vocalo's Summer Meltdown concert on July 11th at Bottom Lounge. It's free and the good vibes are endless. For more, head to wbez.org/events.
Good afternoon, I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. The Illinois Accountability Commission is hearing testimony from Chicago residents on the brutal tactics by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents during last fall's Operation Midway Blitz deportation campaign. Several witnesses Monday told the panel that agents would launch tear gas canisters and pepper spray balls into crowds of bystanders, as well as slam people to the ground. The commission was formed by Governor J.B. Pritzker to document ICE abuses. It will submit its findings later this week. Students and workers this morning joined forces to support striking graduate employees at the University of Illinois Chicago. The UIC Graduate Employees Organization has been bargaining since April 2025. It's fighting for higher wages and comprehensive health care. Alex Hagen is a representative of Sanctuary for All UIC. This is a coalition of students, faculty, and staff, and says the offers it's received so far are not meeting the costs of living.
So if health care is going up and my wage is not meeting with inflation, I really can't afford to live here. And so we've seen like other universities here in the city that are being paid something closer to a livable wage.
UIC issued a statement saying it remains optimistic a bargaining agreement can be reached that is fair and beneficial for everyone involved. New figures show contacts to Illinois' domestic violence hotline have grown for the fifth consecutive year. A coalition called The Network, advocating against domestic violence, runs this hotline, and it reports calls, texts, and chats from Chicago residents increased by 25% from 2024 to 2025. Smriti Shukla is a programs manager at APNA GAR. This is a Chicago area group in the network, and tells our In the Loop program that helping survivors requires ongoing conversation.
It is important to understand that not everyone is ready to take action right away. So education and awareness is important, and to go with their pace.
The network says requests for shelter remain the number one need among Chicago survivors who contact the hotline. And longtime Chicago actor Matt DeCaro has died just hours before his death. He had performed in a production of August Wilson's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom at the Goodman Theater in Chicago. The Sun-Times reports the veteran of stage and screen died of heart failure in his home in Chicago's Bridgeport neighborhood. Now, after canceling the Saturday matinee, the cast did decide to perform Saturday evening with the help of DeCaro's understudy. Matt DeCaro was 70 years old. You're listening to The Rundown. The U.S. Department of Justice announced on Friday it is expanding efforts to seek and implement the death penalty. It's been 15 years in Illinois since the state abolished capital punishment for state convictions. One activist who has been instrumental in advocating against the death penalty here and nationwide is Sister Helen Prejean. Sister Helen first started counseling people who are on death row during the 1980s, and her story was the inspiration for the film Dead Man Walking, starring Susan Sarandon. My colleague Aaron Allen, host of our Prison Cast project, sat down with Sister Helen to talk about why she's been motivated by this cause for decades.
So we are at DePaul University, where you are participating in a celebration of the 15th anniversary of Illinois abolishing the death penalty. At the same time, about half of U.S. states still sentence people to death. I'm wondering if you can start by explaining, in a nutshell, why you are opposed to the death penalty.
Well, for one thing, I have accompanied eight human beings to their deaths, their executions. And it's so different from being with someone in a hospital who's fading and dying of a natural death. This is a state-imposed death where a person's fully alive and then they're fully dead. And I've seen it close up. I also know all the mistakes with the death penalty. I know how selective it is, that it's almost always when white people have been murdered that the death penalty is sought. I know it's always poor people. I know that there are a lot of mentally ill people that get thrown into the net for the death penalty. And for all these reasons, but there's nothing like seeing it close up. And that's my mission, is to get it out there to the people. And I'm a storyteller, I'm not a lecturer, and I bring them close.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are people, obviously, who support the death penalty. And what they say is that it could deter crime. I also know there are people hearing this who might think capital punishment is appropriate for people who commit the worst crimes. What do you say to that argument?
Yeah, well, first about the deterring, and that's kind of the way it started. Surely, if people are threatened with their own death, self-preservation will keep them from murdering others. But what we found out was people weren't reflecting at all when they go to murder somebody. There's no reflection of what might happen. Mm. So when we can look at the track records of the states that have done the most executions and look at the violence in those states, and you just see there's no correlation of stopping violence by executing people. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, the big moral argument that a lot of people have is the death penalty is appropriate. I had a victim's family say to me one time, my daughter is buried forever under the ground, and he's alive. Even if he gets life without parole, he can still call his mama for his birthday. Mm. He's alive and she's dead, and that's not fair, so he's got to die too. And then, of course, the moral question that comes up. Now, who deserves to kill him, and who's going to set the process in place to decide who should die for their crimes? And then you come to the Supreme Court in the Gregg decision of 76. And they said, it's only going to be for the worst of the worst murders. But you have a human society deciding what's worse for the worst. And almost always it's when white people are killed.
Before we got here today, we reached out to some folks who spent time on death row here in Illinois before it was abolished. One person, Anthony, is still incarcerated in a state prison. He wrote into us saying that just being on death row felt like torture to him. And this is a quote from him. I often say that I got off death row, but death row didn't get off me. Is this a sentiment you've heard before from people who have been on death row?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And let's just really get it clear that it is torture. The definition of torture in international circles is an extreme mental or physical assault on someone rendered defenseless. Mm. How do people justify it? You know what they do, including the Supreme Court justices? Look at what they did. Look at their crime. But human beings can always grow. There's a transcendence in us. And that was the dialogue with the Catholic Church about the inherent dignity in human beings, that we can always grow and we can always change. But people getting off a death row, it's built into your cells.
Catholic Sister Helen Prejean, a longtime advocate against the death penalty. Weather, sunny skies today, high in the low 60s, and then cloudy with some scattered showers tonight, a low in the mid-40s. Wednesday, partly sunny, high in the mid-50s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thanks for listening.